This tape is a production of All Roads Ministries. Its title is Defending the Faith. It is designed to educate Roman Catholics and those who accept truth as essential to Christianity in a technique by which they may be enabled to defend Roman Catholicism against its critics and also demonstrate its truths. By this I mean that it may be used by both valid Roman Catholics and those who wish to become Roman Catholics. In other words, it may be used as a technique both to defend the faith by those who possess it and by those who seek to possess the truth. This technique may be used for self-analysis also. This tape is essentially a training course by which the identity of the actual Christian Church will be made manifest. It is designed primarily to defend Roman Catholicism against those pseudo-Christians who are called Protestants. And because of this, I will frequently use the word Protestant as a term for the adversarial person in the discussions which occur. Since this tape is called Defending the Faith, I will always presume there is an adversary that is one who is attacking the faith. And I refer to Protestants because Protestants are the primary source of attacks on true Christianity. But also because some Protestants, having never been exposed to a proper defense of Roman Catholicism, may, when exposed to such a defense, be induced to investigate further and may yet become Christians before they die. Therefore, although this tape is designed for defense, it may be, and hopefully is, a method by which the person listening to it may more easily fulfill his obligation to evangelize the truth. A few preliminary remarks. Preliminary remark number one. This tape defends truth, not opinion. It is a truth and not an opinion that true Christianity is only fully expressed in Roman Catholicism. To put it another way, Roman Catholicism is the true religion, and every other system is only true in so much as it or they agree with Roman Catholicism. If you doubt this, I suggest at this point you obtain the tapes, the claims and proofs of Roman Catholicism available from this organization will establish, beyond a reasonable doubt, to any intelligent, honest person, this claim which I have just stated. I will not go into it further here. Remark number two. This tape does not deal with or explain the basic philosophical concepts of knowledge, logic, etc. These are dealt with in other tapes, philosophical tapes available from this organization. If your background is deficient in these areas, then you should obtain those tapes and remedy that deficiency. Preliminary remark number three. The approach is simplified. This is taken because we are not, in this tape, concerned with theological nuances, subtleties, and distinctions. We are concerned with basic, easy-to-comprehend issues and doctrines. We are, the ones we are dealing with are clearly either true or false, and this is our goal in this tape. It is also simplified because the technique which is developed in this tape is designed to be used in a single session, that is, in a 30 to 45 minute session. Naturally, it is hoped that, should the situation call for it, the technique can be repeated with the same person. My personal experience has shown that most frequently that this time period is the optimum, as it is the maximum that most non-Catholics will allow to discuss religion with anyone. In fact, as the Catholic becomes more proficient and experienced in this technique, it should take less time than this to use the technique. Preliminary remark number four. The approach is designed to destroy objections and defeat criticisms of Roman Catholicism. This does not mean that all Roman Catholic customs, practices, or Roman Catholics' persons and decisions are beyond criticism or dissent. Rather, what we do defend is simply the position that Roman Catholic dogma is the depository for revealed divine truth, and that the Roman Catholic Church has been established to provide valid moral guidance for man. In other words, the Roman Catholic Church was founded by God and is guided by God. And only in those areas where it claims to be infallible is it infallible. This is important for you to keep in mind. You are defending a system, not a personality, nor every activity which can be attributed to that system. The technique itself is designed to achieve the following results or concessions. Number one, that is specifically Roman Catholic dogma is correct, and number two, that a specifically non-Roman Catholic belief, which is held by some other system, is false. The reason for this comment is the following, and this must be agreed upon in advance. If a system teaches the truth, then it is a true system. If a system teaches falsity, then it is a false system. The most common method of showing a system to be false is to show that it contradicts itself, and obtain agreement in advance that no statement can be both true and false. This is called the law of identity. We'll talk more about preliminary agreements later. But now it must be understood that because a system teaches one true doctrine, it need not necessarily be true in entirety or in its structure or in its nature. A false system may contain some truth. So the logical conclusion is as follows. If system A teaches truth A, then it may be a true system. However, no evaluation of its other doctrines is made. If system B teaches falsity B, then system B must be false. In other words, the true system must be true in all of the parts which it claims to be true. But a false system is necessarily false whenever any of its claimed essential parts is shown to be false. The foregoing must be agreed upon in advance. I consider it so self-evident as requiring no justification. However, if your adversary refuses to agree to this, understand that you are not dealing with an intelligent or honest person. A second preliminary agreement, which you should get in advance, is this: that if the true Church of Jesus exists today, then it must teach the truth in matters of doctrine and morality. Key to this agreement is a good definition of the word church, and I will deal with the concept of definitions later, but in this case I will give you a working definition. It would be a unified body of people who accept the same system of belief, morality, and liturgy, and have a common authority. Further aspects on the correct nature of the Christian Church are explained in the tapes, The Proofs of Catholicism, and the errors of the Protestant view are exposed in The Protestant View of the Church, both tapes available from this organization. This premise, that Christ's Church must teach the truth, is easily established by positing the opposite and observing what conclusions would necessarily follow. If Christ's Church can teach error mixed with truth, or total error, then its members do not know the truth. And if that is so, then Jesus' promise that we would know the truth and it would set us free is invalid. And no Christian can consider Jesus' promise without effect. For further discussion on this particular matter, obtain the tape, The Protestant View of the Truth, and also, related, the tape called The Papacy. A non-truthful church, therefore, could not have Jesus, who identified himself as the truth, as central to it. And if it was not central to it, it certainly could not be Christian. Another pre-discussion agreement is to decide not, and I say repeat, to decide not to deal with the same issue from two views, the Catholic and the non-Catholic view. In other words, do not discuss the Catholic and non-Catholic view of the same doctrine. To illustrate, do not discuss the Protestant view and then the Catholic, that is the Christian view, of Scripture at the same time. The reason for this is that the technique involved is not to compare views, but to invalidate or validate systems. And when the same issue is discussed from two separate views, confusion is more likely engendered. An apparent, as opposed to real, agreement may be falsely perceived. Another advantage of this agreement is that two issues rather than one will be covered in the same session. Remember again, you are not concerned with agreement, you are concerned with distinctions. You are in the process of defending the faith. The next pre-agreement which you should come to is to accept definitions of key terms. You must not presume that you and your adversary have similar understanding of the terms. After all, the other person has not had as clear a concept of truth as you have. He is not a Roman Catholic. is not a Christian. Non-Roman Catholics do not reason correctly, otherwise they would be Roman Catholics. And frequently, they wallow in their own confusion and their own error, making it as some sort of defense mechanism to prevent themselves from obtaining and acting upon the truth, a situation which they find scary and confrontational. For it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, and it is a fearful thing to confront His truth if you do not have the grace that the Roman Catholic Church provides. Some of the key terms which should be understood, other than the one church, which I have mentioned before, are salvation, truth, God, believe, know, feel, etc. These words, among others, have very different meanings for real Christians and for Protestants. It is suggested that you define the word yourself and then seek acceptance from your adversary. It is easier to control the direction and the nature of a conversation if you define the terms. I suggest that you write them down if you believe you may forget them, or if your adversary will later deny that he ever agreed to the meaning. And you should expect that you will ultimately find this happening, that is, that your adversary will straight out lie as to what he said. This is a very common occurrence. A few comments on definitions as long as we're on the subject. If you cannot define a term, then you cannot validly use it. And if you do use it, when you don't know what it means, you're being dishonest. So only use terms that you can understand and can define if asked to. Remember this, you are a Christian. You must bear witness to the truth. You must say what you mean, and you must know what you mean. Avoid all terms which you cannot define. Definition usually consists of a general category or class, then a restricted or limiting class, and then characteristics. If you go back to the definition I gave of the church, you'll understand that. The general class would be a collection of believers. A restrictive class would be those who have something in common. And then the characteristics would be that they have the common belief, the common morality, and the common acceptance of authority. For specifically religious terms, you should consult the Catholic Encyclopedia, deal with a good Roman Catholic Orthodox priest, that is one who is still in union with Rome, or a good Catholic layman, or you may obtain some useful information from either raw tapes or good Catholic books. There certainly are a large number. Ignatius Press and Tan Publishing Outfits are only two that I will mention right now that put out a large number of quite good Catholic books. You should be very careful, however, never to simply limit yourself to dictionaries, as dictionaries are frequently inaccurate and certainly invalid in religious areas. They're not written by Catholics. If you cannot achieve agreement on the use or meaning of a term, then quite simply qualify it each time you use it, or use another term. In other words, you might say to your adversary, whenever I use the word salvation, I mean the Catholic concept of salvation, or use the term redemption, or any other term which clearly defines what you mean. This is important, as it is absolutely essential to prevent the adversary from evading issues by changing the meaning of words. And once again, this is a very, very common technique of Protestants. Again, if they were concerned with confronting and dealing with the truth, they'd already be Catholics. Allow me to comment on your degree of knowledge here at this point. It is not necessary that you know every Roman Catholic doctrine, nor every Protestant era, although that would be excellent. I suggest that you deal with those upon which there is the most disagreement. So don't deal with Scripture, at least not at first. We Catholics believe it to be inspired. Protestants say the same thing, although they do not believe this. And it is a little more difficult to prove that a person is purely lying than being just mistaken. The best Roman Catholic doctrines to deal with are purgatory, papal infallibility, the doctrines concerning our Blessed Mother, intercessory prayer, the real presence, and the sacrament of penance, all of which are very easy to prove. Tapes from Arm deal with these issues and show how self-evident they are and easy to defend. The best Protestant doctrines are the concepts of private interpretation, remarriage after divorce, salvation by faith alone, the nature of the Church, sola scriptura, sin, and forgiveness. And again, the Arm tapes can certainly help you on this. Again, you need not know all of these, but you must, absolutely must, know very well, or at least well enough to defend and explain, one Roman Catholic doctrine and one Protestant doctrine. You must understand that. There's no way to avoid that if you're going to use this technique. As a Roman Catholic, you should already know some of the Roman Catholic doctrines I mentioned again. And again, our tapes are the best ones available at this time to learn the Protestant views. However, you might also obtain some of Protestants' own books, pamphlets. You might visit their ministers and ask for a little instruction. You might listen to their radio and TV shows. Don't be surprised, however, if nothing they say makes much sense. You're not talking about people who deal with basic truths. And there are some Protestant beliefs which are close to Roman Catholic beliefs. After all, they've stolen them from us to give some impression of being related to Christianity. Ignore those issues. A few other minor but basic pre-agreements you should come up with. Number one, that knowledge is achievable. That is, things, suggestions, and truths can be known. Number two, that God has revealed certain truths which can be known. Number three, that there is a difference between truth and opinion in their nature. That is, there is a difference between objective and subjective. There is a difference between what is and what I like. There is a difference between what is and what I believe, and that what I believe doesn't make it true. If you don't understand these concepts, then I suggest you obtain the philosophical tapes available from this organization, mainly those dealing with knowledge, the elements of logic, and the philosophy of Immanuel Kant. Now on more to the actual utilization of the technique itself that I'm talking about. I suggest that if it's possible, before you attempt to use it in so-called real combat, that is, with an actual adversary, you practice it with a friend or with a relative. Or if you have a friendly relative, you can use him. You should actually each pick a side, one attacking, one defending. That is, one's a Protestant, one is a Catholic. You should each choose separate issues. Then, after you've done that, you should reverse the roles. The one who was the Catholic should become a Protestant and vice versa. You can stay with the same issues, or you can use different ones. In cases such as this, when attacking, Roman Catholicism, allow your imagination to expand. Do not be rational nor fair. Do not stay simply with truth, as attackers of truth can neither be rational nor fair. The purpose of this is to create some sense of ease and based on experience when you actually attempt to defend the faith for real. And one last point on this subject. At least this is a good place to bring it up. Pray for the grace of God to answer correctly, and then have confidence that God will give it to you. Speaking personally, I have both experienced God's special help when defending Catholicism and observed it in action with others who I have not aided but merely observed. I told them simply to have confidence to pray, and it worked. There are passages in the Gospel of St. Matthew and the Gospel of St. Luke, which promise aid when defending the truth, God's truth, that is. I won't tell you where they are. You should be familiar with the Gospels yourself, so I suggest you look them up. And in the meantime, while you're looking for them, you'll probably learn some other stuff. Remember this, however. You are not defending a man, or a man-made system, or personality, or even a human philosophy, but rather God's own truth. Expect extra help. Another comment here on conversion. No man comes to God. No man is given the gift of faith except as God wills it. No man becomes a Roman Catholic simply because he wishes to do so. Only God's grace can bring him into the true fold. However, we can, and we should, remove the obstacles which prevent a person from coming closer to God. Then, should God call him, this man will not refuse the call, will not refuse the gift of grace, which, of course, everyone can do. If the man is fed nothing but lies and slander about Roman Catholicism, he will find it difficult to know the truth. Even when God calls him, he will not know from where the call comes or where to look for God. Therefore, never be disappointed that your adversary does not convert, either immediately or even later. Your task in life is to save your soul, to bear witness to the truth, and to spread the gospel. And of course, these second two have a relationship to the first. Do these things and leave the rest to God. Again, the technique of the defense of faith which we're dealing with will go briefly as follows. Number one, arrange certain pre-discussion agreements. Number two, define terms. Number three, identify the two distinctly issues that shall be discussed, one Roman Catholic issue, one non-Roman Catholic issue. Number four, defeat the Protestant position. Number five, affirm the Catholic position. We'll deal with these more detail later. It is very necessary, or that is at least desirable, for you to defeat the Protestant position before you affirm the Catholic position. This is because, psychologically, if you show a person to be wrong in his position, he will desire to do that back to you as an act of emotional revenge. Therefore, the affirmation of the Roman Catholic position will become easier because the person will be interested in listening to you. He will be listening carefully. If you show yourself to be correct first, that is, if you take the Catholic position first, however, it is far more likely that he will withdraw from the discussion. He will possibly sense defeat or concede that something in Roman Catholicism is correct. This is not our goal, or at least it is not our total goal. Again, if you defeat him, he may attempt to use the same technique as you did, thinking somehow that it was the method and not the substance of the matter that allowed you to succeed. This would be quite beneficial because, again, the stronger he attacks you, the more he gets committed, the more chance he has of discovering truth. You're trying to get to the soul of the man. You must knock down the defense mechanisms and the phoniness. It is an unfortunate aspect of those in error that they care more about assuring themselves that others are wrong rather than learning the truth from those who know it. But if you can get him committed to the discussion, your chances of telling him the truth and teaching it to him are better. After you are successful in this technique, and presuming that your adversary remains and does not simply run away or attack you personally, both of which are quite common to those of us who try to evangelize Catholicism, there are two alternative follow-up approaches you may use. You must judge which is the better in your situation, as I cannot tell you in advance. Number one, the alternative is as follows: to repeat the technique. That is, show the truth of a second Roman Catholic doctrine and the falsity of a second non-Roman Catholic doctrine, and so on to a third pair and then a fourth pair of doctrines. Each time, more evidence will be added to the truth of Roman Catholicism, hopefully leading to a cumulative effect. Also, a cumulative effect on the falsity of the previous belief system, that is, the Protestant belief system, which the person has had and for which he is hopefully weakening. Alternative number two, attempt to achieve agreement on the conclusion that the Protestant system must be false, while the Roman Catholic system may be true. This is based on what I said before, that a true system must teach truth, while a false system, if it's shown to be false in any area, must be false. And again, this would only go to the point that the Roman Catholic system may be true, meaning only the claims of the Roman Catholic system are now worthwhile discussing. Then, the entire matter now shifts to a discussion of the claims and proofs of Roman Catholicism, which, of course, you should obtain from, again, either the tape available from this organization or any good book on apologetics, if you are weak in that area at all. This will allow you to establish, beyond a doubt, the proofs of Roman Catholic claims and the proof and truth of the Roman Catholic religion. Now, in dealing with the technique itself, when you are dealing with statements, and again, that's what you're dealing with, you will get objective statements. The Protestant view is this, the Catholic view is that. What you are trying to do in the Protestant situation, or in a statement which attacks the Catholic situation, is a progressive analysis of the statement, establishing a chain of evidence, leading to a conclusion which invalidates the original position. Does that sound too complex? Well, I'll break it up for you. Let's analyze the statement. What we do is make evident the self-contradiction of the first statement by breaking it into steps. Step number one, obtain the statement. If necessary, make the statement yourself and then ask for consent that you have made a proper statement. In other words, don't be surprised if the person, your adversary, won't say anything. He's afraid. Don't be surprised. If he does make a statement, no matter how clear it is, no matter what he says, repeat what the other person says. This way, you can be certain that you did understand what is said and what is meant. You must be very careful and wary of vagueness here. If it occurs, your rephrasing of the statement must not be vague or evasive. You're trying to pin down the situation. Step 2, analysis. Separate the parts of the statement and reduce or eliminate the modifiers. You must obtain a core declaration statement of doctrine, not a statement of belief which is only subjective. What is the basis of the statement? That's one question you should use for your analysis. Another one, what authority does it rest upon? Is this authority valid? Where does the authority validate the statement? In other words, find out what is the basis of someone offering this statement as something correct. Number 3, ask a directional question. That is a direction geared towards the goal of the discussion. That is geared at this point towards an admission made by the person which will lead towards self-contradiction. Number 4, obtain the admission as a result of the question. This will contain an element of the desired goal, that is some part of self-contradiction. Conclusion, this is a statement you make which validates that the original statement made by the opponent was false. Now, this technique is designed to refute a statement which could either be a defense of the Protestant doctrine or an attack on Roman Catholicism. The approach would be the same for both. Although you may choose to show Roman Catholicism true based upon right reason, logic, scripture, etc., and don't expect your adversaries to accept papal infallibility, you may also prove the truth of Roman Catholicism on a specific doctrine by refuting its attackers. However, always expect evasion. Always expect that the person will want to change his mind or his statements. If your adversary wishes to do this, if he wishes to withdraw his original statement and rephrase it, do not be concerned. If he rephrases it incorrectly, you can defeat it again using the same technique. If he rephrases it correctly, then it will ultimately be a Roman Catholic position, and you no longer can attack the truth when he advances it, and he no longer can attack it when he holds it. And that's partially a victory. I'm going to go short on the tape. However, I'll give you an exact example that worked for me using this technique. It dealt with a Baptist minister that I was interviewing. The Baptist minister stated that he knew that he was teaching correctly Christian doctrine. That was the statement. Number 2, the analysis. The implication is clear that he has a method by which he can know and determine what is truth. Now, the question was, what was that method? And the answer was that he teaches what the majority of Christians believe and teach. Now, the admission part came as a result of the question. Essentially, it was this. Is the majority correct? Well, if the majority are correct, then the majority, being Catholics, teach correctly, and therefore, as a minister, he must be a Catholic. If the majority are not correct, then he cannot use the position. Either way, we get an admission that he must say that the majority are not correct, at least not necessarily correct. Now what we have is a conclusion. You cannot use as a basis for your authority what you stated is a basis for your authority. Therefore, you have a self-contradiction. Now, we can what you can do at this point, or what I attempted to do at this point, unfortunately without success, as the minister would no longer talk to me, is try to bring up the same thing again. Well, then what is the basis for your authority, since it cannot be the majority rule? I did not receive an answer, but this I expected. I was not dealing with an honest or an honorable person. This ends the tape. Let me make one summary remark. Remember, I've stated it before. When you're defending the faith, you're defending the truth. Expect God to help you, and he will. I also expect that, at least for most of you, it will be necessary for you to listen to this tape several times. I suggest you take out a pencil and paper and take notes as it goes along to analyze it. Defending the faith is much easier than it sounds, but it is essential that you learn the correct technique. Additional copies of this tape, and copies of any of the tapes mentioned in this tape, and a free catalog can be obtained by writing to All Roads Ministries, and you may abbreviate that ARM, 38 Charlotte Grove, Hopewell Junction, New York, 12533.